And good morning, 88.9 WLRY, live online, WLRY.org. It is Talk of the Town. Our special guest joining us today is my friend Amy Lively. Good to see you again.
Hey, Mike. Good morning. Nice to be here.
This is exciting. How to love your neighbor without being weird.
You know, I just wish you had maybe like a webcam in here so people could see how cute that book is.
It's
a good looking cover.
It is a very good looking cover. Who came up with that?
The publisher did. They had just a great designer, and it's we'll have to describe it probably.
Yeah.
It's turquoise and red, and then it has coffee cups, about six different coffee cups around the front, and that just signifies being in fellowship, sitting down with a cup of coffee with your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. And if you go to our Facebook page, or of course to yours, or I'm sure you got a website too.
HowToLoveYourNeighbor.com.
Take a look at the cover there.
Yeah.
And where is this available?
You can get that online at any of the online booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Family Christian Book. But here locally, you can pick it up down at the Well. It's for sale down at the Well, and also at the Barnes & Noble store in Pickerington and the Lifeway store in Pickerington.
That Well is a neat place, isn't
it? I love it there.
Yeah.
Very peaceful and beautiful and delicious.
Yeah. Now, Amy, is this your first book?
Oh, yeah. First, and I thought, who would ever think you'd write a book, you know? This was just a little thing that started in my living room in my neighborhood, and whoever would have thought it'd become a book.
How'd you get inspired to write this?
You know, it started with really a miserable failure, you know, my lack of loving my neighbors. I didn't know my neighbors hardly at all. And we'd been in our neighborhood for 7 years before I ever took the initiative to get to know my neighbors. But I had the idea to start a neighborhood Bible study. And, you know, there was this big stumbling block that I didn't know the people I was intending to invite. And so it turned into a process of really just having an open house for them and inviting the women in my neighborhood just over for coffee. Just let's just get to know each other. And then if they wanted to continue to get together, then that would be available to them. And someone gave me some really wise advice as I was starting that. They said, write everything down. As you do everything, write it all down. And so I did. You know, I kind of kept a journal in my devotions anyway. So I wrote everything down. And I can do some stuff on the computer. So if I made a postcard or an invitation, I would keep it. And I called our gathering the Rosewood Cafe because we live on Rosewood Drive. And I said, no, it's not a real cafe. It's just a time for us to sit down with a cup of coffee at my kitchen table. And that's what's on the cover of the book. Just a cup of coffee at the kitchen table, real simple. And they came. These women I had never met before took the time to come because I have found people really do want to know their neighbors. Mm-hmm. We have that sense of longing, and God built us with a sense of community. It looks different for everyone. Like, you know, Mike, you're probably not going to invite your ladies over for coffee.
Probably not,
you know, but there is something that you can do. There is some way that you can connect with the people around you. And it might be in a group. It might just be more one-on-one, just talking over the lawnmowers as you pass your neighbor.
Sure.
So everybody has their own unique way. But for me, it was the Rosewood Cafe. And that became, just very gradually, it became a ministry called the Neighborhood Cafe, where I helped women everywhere do this in their own homes. And I would give them my postcard, and I would give them, you know, my guest list, the little things that I had developed, and I would share with them what worked and what didn't work. And there are neighborhood cafes all over the country. There are neighborhood cafes in Alaska, in Canada, in Australia. So that's been really exciting to watch women. I think when we have a tool and we have someone who's been there and maybe said, you know, I lived and survived to tell the tale, and this is what you could try, it helps. And so I just kept track of all of those ideas, what worked and what didn't. And that was what became eventually this book of How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. It's not how to start a women's neighborhood Bible study. It's not about that. It's just the many, many different ways and real tools, practical things that anyone can do, men, women, families, couples, children, to engage with the people that God, I think, very carefully orchestrates around our home.
And you talk a little bit in the beginning of the book about your background. And how it kind of led to that. And anytime somebody has a successful venture like this, It is normally the result of some failures.
Oh, of course. Those are the most important part. Those are where you really learn to lean on God and you learn to just trust Him and you learn that you survive the failures and you learn to just keep going. It's, you know, it's a command that doesn't have an exception clause. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
And I put lots of asterisks after that, you know. When I have time, or when I have all of the answers, or when my house is perfect. You know, I put lots of exception clauses on that, but God does not. So you keep going in spite of the fears and in spite of the failures.
It's a command, not a suggestion,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
So how do you go about that? How do you go up that first time and knock on that neighbor's door? That's got to be a pretty harrowing experience.
You know, it is. I'll be real honest about that. And I still do it in my own neighborhood. There's still people I haven't met and new people that come in. And every time I do it, I still have to take that big gulp and say that big prayer and ask for God's courage to do it. But, you know, I don't have little kids anymore that would play in the yard or at the park. And my neighborhood doesn't even have a park. And I don't have a little corner coffee shop where I would naturally meet neighbors. You know, we don't have sidewalks, you know, where people congregate. And we don't have front porches. You know, we pull in our attached garage and we stay in our fenced-in backyard. So it wasn't happening naturally for me. And so I had to create these opportunities to meet people. And that's where it is literally just knock on the door and say hello.
I know First Church of God Pastor Bill Means and I
know Bill.
We went door to door with the Art of Neighbor, and we had a block party at his church.
That's a great idea.
And we literally went door to door and met a lot of people, and it was a great experience. Would I have done that on my own volition? No, probably not. But because I was part of that, we did it, and I'm really glad we did.
It's great if you know somebody or somebody in your family or another neighbor, you can do this together. The Art of Neighboring, isn't that just an incredible resource that we have? Yeah. It's available to anyone. It is a book as well by my same publisher, actually.
Oh, okay.
So pick up a copy of that and just read how it's actually from a guy's perspective. So it gives you a little different angle on it, which I think is useful. And I've become friends with the authors because we just have this same heart for engaging people. But in Lancaster, the Art of Neighboring has become really a movement and a unity of churches and government leaders and just citizens who say, you know, we want to be good neighbors. So they meet regularly. Right. And we've had dozens of block parties in Lancaster. And so if anybody wants information on that, there is a Facebook page. It's called Fairfield County Neighbors. They can check that out and they'll find tools on there where they can download just kind of step-by-step instructions, how to get that started, make it real simple.
Okay. We're speaking with Amy Lively, author of How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. So I would say as important as the things you do, it's probably the things you don't do. What are some things that you don't want to do?
And that's kind of the don't be weird part.
Yeah.
That's the part that I think a lot of Christians find most intimidating, is that we might feel like the command to love our neighbor means the command to invite them to church or a command to convert them. And that's not our command. And that's not what Jesus did. He just came alongside people and he sat down with them in their own homes, at their own tables, and he did life with them. Even the story of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan helping the Jewish person on the road, they didn't even have a conversation. It was just practical assistance that he gave to them. And so some of the things that I don't like to do are push an agenda. You know, I'm not trying to put another notch in my Bible of the people that I have, brought to church or the number of hands raised to accept salvation. Those are things that just flow out of your relationship, and that God does bring those opportunities to share Jesus Christ in a very natural way.
Mm-hmm. So when you invite them over, it's not for a Bible study.
Not initially, no.
It's just to come over and get to know one.
And I never hide the fact that I'm going to invite them back for a Bible study because I don't want to do a bait and switch on them at all.
Sure.
But at the initial gathering, I do an open house a couple times a year. So, you know, if you don't want to do an open house, just have one family over for a barbecue. Toss a football in the front yard instead of the backyard. Just have a conversation on the street corner with those dog walkers. Lots of different ways that you can do this.
Again, Amy Lively, our special guest. The book is How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. We'll be back with more, but before we go to break again, where is this available?
It's locally at The Well, Barnes & Noble, and Lifeway in Pickerington, and any online bookseller.
And we'll be back with more right after these messages on 88.9 WLRY and live online, WLRY.org. 88.9 WLRY, live online, WLRY.org, and welcome back. It's Talk of the Town. Our special guest this morning, Amy Lively, talking about her new book, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. Actually, the second printing of this.
Yeah, they print up a batch, and then before it even was released, the pre-orders had been pretty strong, and so they printed more. So that's exciting.
What was the official release date of this?
Not till next week, May 5th is
really?
The official release date. But since they were printed early, they shipped them early, so you can order it today and get it tomorrow online. And the Kindle version is also available just on demand right now.
Very good. So obviously this is touching a lot of people. A lot of people are connecting with
this. I sure hope so. That's my prayer. That's been my prayer from the very beginning, that if anything I've done could help another person. To me, this book is not just about the reader. It's about the reader's neighbor. And so when I get scared or frustrated or busy and I think about, I'll just put that off a day, I really have to remind myself that it's not. There are people who I will never meet who may be impacted by this book. That's really my prayer.
How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. What if your neighbor is weird?
Well, it'd be better maybe if you had one of my neighbors come in and interview them and ask them if they think I'm weird. They just might. So, and you know what? A lot of neighbors are weird. They have different, different lifestyles. They have different belief systems, different worldviews.
Sure.
You really do have a lot in common with your neighbors because you have chosen to live in the same place. So just by that very fact, you have a lot of the same demographics, probably about the same age, number of kids, education, income, just because you've chosen your neighborhood together. But we do have some things on the surface that appear, to be very different, especially if you go to church, they don't, with different political signs in your front yards. So we can think our neighbors are weird, but I think really at our core, we have so much more in common. We have the same struggles. We have the same joys. We have the same fears. We have the same things that make our lives tick. That's what you'll find when you meet them.
What would you say to somebody that says, when they talk in the Bible about loving your neighbor and they ask Jesus, who is your neighbor? And he says, everyone. Well, I'm already, loving my neighbor through World Vision, through other programs. Is that a cop-out?
Well, I think we've made it a cop-out. Or I'll speak for myself. I made it a cop-out. When I... after, 20 years probably that I ran from the Lord. But when I finally came back to him and I was all in, my world was church. It was church on Sunday, church on Wednesday, Bible studies throughout the week. And I loved that. And I needed that at that time in my life. But then I just pretty much withdrew to my church world and had no interaction with people outside of it, unless it was, to give them a goodie bag or to deliver them a tract or to send them a check. I think Jesus was talking both and, that our neighbors are both the people around the world who do need our assistance, who do need missionaries to come into their cultures, who do need practical assistance like World Vision and those other organizations provide. But and he meant the people who live right next door. And for me, it was a lot easier to send that check or to believe that, my witness to my neighbor was random people at the grocery store that I would say, God bless you, or, somebody, I'm praying for you. That was easy because it's a little bit removed and those people appreciate that and don't reject it. But right next door, where somebody I have to see, at the mailbox or at the school or at the park or, and there can be a personal rejection, that's a lot harder.
So you knock on the door, you invite them over. Kind of give me, I guess there's probably not an actual script.
Well,
but kind of give me an idea.
There is a pattern, though. There's a pattern. Here's what I do. Say hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. My name is Amy, and I live right there, and I point to my house. I've lived here for so long, and it's just really a shame I don't know enough of my neighbors. And I just wanted to change that, so I wanted to stop by and say hi. My name's Amy. What's your name?
Mike.
That's usually what they say. Yeah. They don't usually say Mike.
But whatever,
some say Bob
is.
Or Mary.
Sure.
Yeah. And that just starts a conversation. Or if they're new, I just say, hi, my name is Amy. I live around the corner. Notice you're new in the neighborhood. I just wanted to welcome you. And, I'm an extrovert, so that comes a lot easier to me.
Yeah.
I know lots of introverts where that's just completely terrifying. There are other ways, other things that you can do, though.
Do you bring cookies?
You can bring cookies, but mm-hmm. you don't have to. It's mm-hmm. nice, but you don't have to. I personally would buy cookies because... on a paper plate. That's real simple.
Right.
Or a little flower, you know, mm-hmm. something just a couple dollars. It's nice to have something in your hand when you give it to them. Or, you know, when you knock with one hand, have a gift in the other. You say, I came to give you this. And that's a great way to open a conversation.
And they probably loosen up once they figure out that you're not there to...
You're not there to sell them anything.
Have an agenda.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not there to sell them anything or do anything other than say hi. But you kind of read them. You know, if they are very hesitant, keep their hand on the door and look like they want to go back in, then I'm just, you know, short and sweet. If they come outside, then we'll sit and talk for a while. They invite me inside. And you just use common sense, you know, if you're going to go into someone's home like that. But you will find the vast, vast majority of people are polite, delighted, and receptive.
Mm-hmm. You know, we found that, as I told you earlier, when we went door to door, we found that I'd say 80-90% of them were right. receptive. And some of them downright joyous, you know,
yes.
very happy. You get that occasionally?
I do. Yeah. I do. And you find that you go home kicking yourself going, oh, Lord, why did you let me wait so long?
Right.
Yeah. You know, you will find the joy so far outweighs the fear. And the risk is worth the reward when you go out and you do it.
Absolutely. Again, Amy Lively, our special guest. The book is How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. You were telling me during the break there is a chapter on spiritual gifts.
Tell me a little bit about that. In the church, it's real easy to find your spiritual gifts. Most any church would be happy to sit down and give you a quiz or just have a conversation to find out what your spiritual gifts are. And then you can find these things online. Just search spiritual gifts test. You can answer a bunch of questions and it'll tell you how God has uniquely equipped you to build up the church. And that is the purpose of the spiritual gifts. And then you'll usually be assigned a role in the church, like, oh, you'd be a great greeter, or you'd be in the nursery, or you'd be on the hospital visitation team, or teaching our high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, this is a both-and situation, that these spiritual gifts, they're not just for 90 minutes on Sunday mornings. They are how God equipped us to interact with the world and right. bring them to the larger, you know, universal church of believers.
Sure.
And so when you find your spiritual gifts at use in your neighborhood, that is when they really become powerful tools for the kingdom. And when you use them at work, gosh, your boss will get kingdom work for a regular old paycheck. So we are each of us uniquely designed yeah. and equipped to use those gifts at home and at church.
And you brought up a good point there at the very beginning. You pray. Perhaps you're like, you know, I don't have any spiritual gifts, or I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. As you said, the very first important first step is to pray. Say, God, show me what my spiritual gifts are.
What have you given me to do? How have you made me to interact with people? Our gifts are from God. They are to us, but they are for others. They're not to be hoarded. They're not to be put up on the shelf. They're not to be exchanged or returned. Like a sweater that you didn't want for Christmas. They're to be used, and they're for other people. The abundance grace of God allows us to enjoy using our gifts,
mm-hmm.
but they're for other people.
So who is this book for?
This book is for anybody who knows deep in their heart that they should do this. They really don't need any more preaching at them of love your neighbor, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. Jesus said it. We know it. We know we should do it, but we just kind of don't know how. We don't really know exactly what to do, what to say, how to be, what our neighbors might be thinking, how they might respond. They just have these big unknowns on the other side of that command, and they don't know how. So it's for someone who's just kind of tired of feeling guilty about that
yeah.
and wants to just get over it already and go do the thing.
How do you break the ice?
Right.
You know? How do you do that? How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. Amy Lively, our special guest, author of this book, Bethany House Publishing. Again, where is it available?
It's available at The Well and at Barnes & Noble and Lifeway in Pickerington and online at any bookseller.
So when's the second book coming out?
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, I'm still working on this one. Writing the book, you know, living the book was the hardest part. You know, Everything in here is personal experience. Right. You know, bloody knuckles, getting this thing. So living the book's the hardest. Writing it was actually fun, and then getting it out there—that's the hardest part. So that would be my biggest joy if this went well, that there would be another.
And you have a book launch party coming up.
Yeah, this Sunday afternoon, inviting all of our neighbors and friends. So basically, if you can hear this broadcast, you're invited. It's going to be on Rosewood Drive in Lancaster. You'll be able to find it. It's a small street. And it's really to thank and honor all those neighbors who answered the door and smiled and said, come on in, Amy, and who have then come into my house. I just really want to celebrate them and thank them for allowing me.
And everybody's invited
to
this.
Sure, come on over.
Sunday at 3 p.m., find Rosewood Drive in Lancaster and just look for the cars.
Look for all the cars. Okay. It's on the corner.
Hey, always a joy. Thanks for coming by today.
Thank you, Mike.